wonderful testimony. Come see a man. Amen. Should be on all of our lips. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Deacon Harrison, to the deacons, officers, members of Ebenezer, to our family, friends, and guests this morning. We do thank God for this another privilege to come together in his house of prayer. When we listen to the prayer list, when you watch the news, so much going in the world today. But we can pause, as Deacon Dennis said, we can pause and spend time with the Lord. And in that time, we can strengthen our resolve, strengthen our faith, strengthen our hope and our love for one another. And so we do thank God for this privilege. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at one particular passage of scripture found in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So much was packed into that one verse that we just wanted to look at these principles separately. So on first Sunday, we talked about study, where in that verse it talks about the apostles' teaching. The apostles had to teach the new converts, and the new converts knew that they had to learn. And so in this union, both was able to share one with another. The teachers was able to teach, and the students was able to learn, and the church grew. And then on last week, we talked about the role of fellowship. Fellowship one with another. Paul later would write, do good unto all men, but especially unto those of the household of faith. He didn't say exclusively to those of the household of faith, but especially. Because the reality is that we are the only ones that can encourage one another. I don't know if you notice or not, but the government is not encouraging the church. Amen. The church has to encourage itself, and we do that through fellowshipping one with another. We bear one another's burdens. We share our problems, trials, tribulations, our talents, our treasures, our testimonies with one another so that we can grow by that knowledge. We can grow individually, and we grow collectively through fellowship. On today, we want to look at the third of these principles in Luke chapter 2, verse 42. Let us read it again for your hearing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And they devoted themselves to prayer. We read into your hearing Luke chapter 2, verse 42. And we ask that there be a blessing to all that is present. This morning, we simply want to talk about communion, the fantastic Final Four, and today we want to focus on communion. Thank you, Ursus, for today. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, is obviously one of the most recognizable activities in the church. It is identified in the Gospels and explained in the New Testament. But it is also one of those type of church gathering and events and services that can become somewhat ordinary. We become familiar with it. We do it once a month. We've done it all of our Christian lives. And that's the way that communion felt to me. Until about 5 years ago, Mim and you will remember 5 years ago when we were in the height of the pandemic, where it just started. It just began. I remember waiting on March Madness, and it got shut down. And then all of a sudden, South by Southwest got shut down. Then I knew it was serious when basketball, NBA, shut down. I said, oh, God, it's going down. We're going to need more than hand sanitizer for this. This is getting serious. And then churches had to scramble because First Sunday was coming. It was communion, a time when we share one with another, and all of these plans. I was in meetings all over the state about how to handle communion, something that I have been doing all of my life. I've been partaking of communion ever since I was baptized. But this, the whole country was discussing it. And I remember the decision our pastor made, with some agreeing and some disagreeing, that we all have communion at home. We'll watch the service, and you could come by and pick up the juice and the cracker if you needed to. Or you could use any element that you had at the house. But we're going to share this moment, this Lord's Supper together virtually. So I sat down at my kitchen table, and since I'm grown, I got me a glass of wine and a sheave of crackers. I had some saltine crackers and a glass of wine, because I'm full grown, Presbyterian educated, so I know there's a line. And so I sat down and watched service go on and listened to my pastor as he gave those rememberable words. You know, this is my body, take, eat. This is my blood in the new covenant, take and drink. And I was sitting at the table, and I took a cracker and sip of wine. But right after that service, another service came on. It was a Baptist church in Houston. And so they were having communion. So I took communion with them. Then it was a Baptist church in Dallas. I took communion with them. Then we got into the Presbyterians, and I was into the Episcopals, and I had to pour me a second glass because I was getting with the Catholics at this time. And I celebrated communion with some Catholics from Portuguese somewhere. I didn't know a word that they said, but I recognized the elements. I recognized the bread and the wine, and I don't know what he was saying, but it seemed like the words we were saying, just in a different language. About that time, my wife came into the room and asked what I was doing. And the only answer I had for her was, huh? She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm having communion. And she said, you know, church ended 3 hours ago, right? I said, huh? I said, I've been having communion with everybody. I've been communion with fellowships all around the world in all these different languages. And I lost that aspect of communion. I had forgotten about the universal nature of communion. It wasn't until God had to sit me down at my kitchen table to realize that it wasn't St. James' table. It wasn't Baptist table. It wasn't Ebenezer's table. It wasn't our table. It was the Lord's table. And the Lord's table is universal. The early apostles, the scripture says that they devoted themselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread. In the early church, basically in the book of Acts, they would celebrate what was known as a love feast. We would call it a potluck, but they had fancier words for it, so they called it a love feast. And everybody would bring a dish. Everybody would eat from what everyone else had. But the thing with Christianity is, because Christianity is for everyone, there's going to be some rich and some poor. There are going to be some haves and some have-nots. There are going to be those who have to work 12-hour shifts and those that can get off on noon, and their supervisors, managers, as well as servants, that all will come to this love feast. And they will enjoy themselves. And every meal, they will have communion. If you think that Ebenezer does it too much by doing it once a month, imagine every meal, every breakfast, every lunch, every supper, they will break bread together. They will remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They will say their grace before it. Lord, bless this food that it be nourishment for my body. And then at the end of a meal, this bread represents his body and this cup represents the new covenant. But because of the nature of the church, Paul found that there became a problem. A problem was that the people that was able to bring in steaks and potatoes didn't care for the people that were bringing in hot dogs and french fries. If I brought steak and potatoes, I want to eat steak and potatoes. I don't want to eat hot dogs and fries. So the people that were bringing in the steak and potatoes would get there early. Now, I'm cutting across here because many of you already been to Sedum, and Sedum has already been over this lesson. So if you haven't been to Sedum, then start going to Sedum, and you already have some of the prep work that goes into this. Well, because you have this mixed multitude, many of the people will start the love feast at noon. I still got to put in 6 hours. I still got to put in 8 more hours. But those that could get off at noon would start the love feast at noon, and then they would eat up all the good food. And then by the time those that had to get off late would get off and get there, they were getting the leftovers. They were getting the crumbs. And so Paul said, y'all are using the communion to cause a division. And then he gives us the instructions that we have found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, what I give to you is what I have received of the Lord. And Paul crafted the, in ministry and in conversation with the Lord, Paul set apart the communion as it is today, which means there's no rich or poor. We all got to drink from the same cup. It doesn't matter rich or poor. We all have the same bread. And it's not about the bread. At least that's what my mama told me when I asked her about it. I said, ooh, this is nasty. She said, it's not about the bread. It's about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. In fact, this is the one time that Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. I'm often asked by people, what do the Lord want me to do? What do the Lord want me to do? Well, one thing I know for sure is that he wants you to take communion. He wants you to understand and come to this place so that we can commune at the Lord's table. It is an event that has been passed down from generation to generation. Believers have been taking this cup. So we are in union not only with our present brothers and sisters, we are literally still in the same communion service that Jesus started over 2,000 years ago. The event got started, but it never ended. It is an ongoing, continuous service that we are allowed to partake in. Brothers and sisters, when we partake of the communion, you partake of it with Peter and Paul, James and John. You partake of it with Mary and Martha and Lydia. You partake of it with the saints that gone on before. When we come to the Lord's table, we recognize that he is the host and you and I are the guests. No, it's not our table. It's his table. And that's why Paul says that we have to examine ourselves. Because it is the Lord's table, the Lord is the mirror that we're looking into. See, we have to be reminded that our goal, that what we are striving to be, is more like Christ. Not just better than our neighbor. Amen. See, so many of us, just because we beat Cousin and Boo Boo and Pokey and all them, we think that we're good enough. But when we come to the Lord's table, we recognize that we have to examine ourselves in the mirror of Jesus Christ. And when we examine ourselves in the mirror of Jesus Christ, you and I both know there are times when we're going to have to fix our face. There are times when we're going to have to adjust our attitudes. There are times when we're going to have to bend our behavior. We're going to have to let go of some stubbornness and become more humble. Why? Because we're at the Lord's table. We're reminded that we come to the Lord's table, and we're reminded to fix our attitudes and fix our faith, that we may correct ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we don't make A's all the time. Oh, no. We fail at some times. And our brothers and sisters need to see that there are times when we can fall, but we can get back up. We can fall, and it's not to our destruction. It's not to our end. It's not to our elimination, but it is to our betterment. God will knock us down just so he can show us and everyone around us that he is still able to pick us up. When we come to the Lord's table, we recognize it is he. It is his table, and we all gather around his table. And when you gather around his table, brothers and sisters, there's no rich or poor. There's no male or female. There's no Jew or Gentile. We are one at his table. We come to his table because we need reminding. Baptism is the sacrament of foundation in the Christian life. Communion is the sacrament of sustaining the Christian life. Baptism gives us our start. Communion allows us to grow. Baptism marks the gift of God's love that welcomes us into the new community and confirms our solidarity with Christ and with others. Communion marks God's continual sharing of his life and love that gives strength to the new community and motivates believers for service in this world. Yes, it reminds us that we are part of a larger community. We belong to a community. That's why it's important for you to get connected. Amen. It's important for you to be a part of some form in some way. You have to be a part of a ministry. You have to be a part of a group. You got to be a part of some way, because that makes us part of the body. No one of us is all eyes. No one of us is all hands. No one of us is all legs. But it's when we all come together, we form the body of Christ. Communion gathers together all of us, the past, the present, even the future. Children born and yet to be born one day will also share in this service. They will share in the redemptive and creative work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. See, you can't do this in remembrance of him and get high-minded. You can't do this in remembrance of him and start looking down on your brothers and sisters. You can't do this in remembrance of him and don't have "I'm sorry" in your vocabulary. When you do this, we're reminded of what he has called us to be. It's the reflection, the mirror we're striving to be like. It's me, oh Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. When I come to the table of communion, I am reminded just how far I have to go. Just how far I missed the mark. How many times I didn't pray like I ought. How many times I made excuses to do what, not to do what the Lord had called me to do. I can get a fresh start once a month. I can start anew, get a brand new beginning. Go back to the beginning with the Lord. It's in communion, in the pouring of the wine and the breaking of the bread, that we remind ourselves whose table it is. Not only do we remind ourselves of whose table it is, it reminds us that it is the Lord whom we serve. Now every once in a while, you got to tell church folk that. Church folk forget that you serve the Lord. I remember one time, I can say this now, I can say it before. I can say it now. I remember one time a minister, he got up and he was thinking he was doing me a service. We need to take care of Robinson. We need to take care of Robinson. We need to take care of Robinson. If we take care of Robinson, he can be available to us for 24 hours, 7 days a week. I held up my hand. I'm like, no, I don't need that level of care. Why? Because I can't serve you 24 hours, 7 days a week. I got to eat sometimes. I got to sleep sometimes. I got a wife, daughters, a grandson, a house. I got cars. I got to put gas in. I got to take them to the mechanic. I got doctor's appointments. I got to visit the dentist every now and then. You know, Wells Fargo don't let me go. They'll call me once a month and say, where's my money? But it reminds us that we're all here to serve the Lord. It is He that we're serving. And that's why we can say Psalms 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and His sheep of His pasture. And while we enter in with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And His love and mercy endures forever and continues from generation to generation. Before we got here, He was here. And when we leave here, He will still be here. But yet we can spend time with Him. It reminds us that we have to serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. It reminds us that not just when we get inside these stained glass windows, but we have to serve the Lord on I-35. I know it's tough on I-35, especially now, man. I just started going around. I was like, I can't pray for forgiveness every day. That's just getting to be too much. Every time I'm going home, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I say, I'm not getting anywhere doing this. I need to go around this traffic. Because I can't understand how I'm going to get on I-35, but I can't get it. Never mind. I need communion now. We need communion. Remind. But it reminds us that we serve Him. It reminds us that as we serve others, that we are always being His servants. We're reminded that the communion table is the Lord's table. It's not Robinson's table. It's not Freeman's table. It's not Swisher's table. It's not Griffin's table. It's not William's table. It's not Rose's table. It's not Ward's table. It is the Lord's table. It's not Ebenezer's table. It's not St. James' table. It's not Mount Sinai's table. It's not Mount Carmel's table. It is the Lord's table. It's not the Southern Baptist table. It's not the American Baptist table. It's not the National Baptist table. It is the Lord's table. Not the Presbyterian table. Not the Lutheran table. It's not the Catholic table. We have to be reminded it is the Lord's table. It is His table, and He allows us to come to His table. He allow us to be partakers in what he is doing. He allow us to be a part of his larger community. It's in communion. And this is what the early disciples learned. They learned that this fellowshipping one with another, this communing with one another, it gave them strength. Many of them were persecuted. Many of them was ran out of town. Many of them was abused and misused. But they drew strength from communion. They drew strength in remembering the sacrifice of our Lord. And aren't you glad that he doesn't require that sacrifice from us? He doesn't require our life sacrifice. He don't require us to lay down our lives so that in 3 days we can pick it up. No, because of his sacrifice, we can make a little sacrifice of time. Because of his sacrifice, we can make a sacrifice of talents. Because of his sacrifice, we can sacrifice a little of our treasures, a little of our tears, a little of ourselves. Why? Because he paid it all. He made the ultimate sacrifice, and all we have to do is remember. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. You know, he doesn't say that about Christmas. And I imagine that if we was on Family Feud and you was the fifth family member, you know, that last one standing on that end, there's always some uncle. You know, it seemed like they just made a random choice. This is my brother, the doctor. This is my sister, the lawyer. This is my cousin, that's a nuclear physicist. And then that's Uncle John down there. It's always the case. And I watch way too much Family Feud. But they have this one where the two families are close. It's called sudden death. They have one answer. The last one on the line, they have them walk down there, Uncle John and Aunt Bibu. They both standing there. They ain't answer nothing right all day. But one answer to win it all. And if they were to ask, what holiday is the most important holiday on the church calendar? The wrong answer would be Christmas. The right answer would be Easter. Why? Because he calls us to remember that. He calls us to remember his death. He calls us to remember his sacrifice. He calls us to remember that he laid down his life. He shed his blood for you and I. And brothers and sisters, we have to remember that. We have to remember that in 2025. We got to remember that when technology is on. We got to remember that even though AI is coming around. We got to remember that it was he that laid down his life for us. And so our prayer as we come to the table on First Sunday should be Kumbaya. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. We need you to come by here. We can't make it without you. Kumbaya, come by here. Without you, we will surely fail. Come by here. We need you to strengthen us. Come by here. We need you to pick us up where we're downtrodden. Come by here. When we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded of our deep need for him. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how far you outrun your neighbors. Doesn't matter what you're ranking in is in your class reunion. It doesn't matter if you had the biggest house in the neighborhood. At the end of the day, we all need the Lord. We need him for our sanity. We need him for our mental health. We need him for our family relationships. We need him so we can take our heavy burdens to him in prayer. And so the early apostles, the early disciples, They continue devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the communion. Why? Because it gives us strength for the journey. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be somebody here today who don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. As the deacons and the ushers and greeters come, we want you to know that you can come. You can come so that you may know. Come that you may grow. And to our virtual community, if you put a line in the comments, we'll be sure to contact you. Accept or reject.